Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Everybody thought I sucked 20 years ago.
Corey Pollard is back at quarterback.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to another episode of Something's Brewing. How's everybody doing? If you're a Bruin football fan, you can't be doing great right now. I'm going to pick up the energy here in a little while, but I started the same exact way for 28 episodes.
You're so modern.
And I just, you know, I'm gonna get the
this
attitude
is depressed
back.
Corey Paz.
This is the only time I've ever been a little depressed, but
wow.
I think I have the method to the episode 29 madness figured out in my head, at least. We'll see how this goes. So just bear with me, all right? Producer Dan,
man.
Okay, so episode number 29 brought to you by Rocco's Tavern in Westwood, the only place to watch sports in Westwood. Also want to welcome back our new listeners again from the Bruin Report Online and 24/7 Sports. Thank you for listening, and we certainly appreciate it. And we hope you keep coming back.
Welcome.
Welcome back. Check us out, somethingsbrewing.com. Follow us at Instagram at somethingsbrewing, or shoot us an email to Corey at somethingsbrewing.com. So, and with that, we're off. Another honorable mention week for number 29 with John Smoltz and Eric Dickerson. I'm saving it because next week, number 30, but going to invest a little more time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
You've got a full.
Number 30 is going to come in a little more hot.
Mention?
Yeah, it's been
good.
A few weeks in a row for honorable mentions. But let's start off this week. Unfortunately, we have to talk about. You notice last week I called the episode the recrap.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, that wasn't a reprint, or that wasn't a misprint.
There was no typo.
I should have saved that for this week, but I feel like I kind of already said it again. But let's start off with the UCLA recap, unfortunately. All right. So, Dan, first of all, you joined me for your first collegiate football game of any level. What did you think of that?
I thought it was really long. I think it takes a long time to play football.
Well, not only
and
that,
if you don't
I dragged
know what's
you.
Happening, you know what I mean? Well, yeah, and we got there a little early.
Yeah, we got there really early.
You know
early.
What, dude? I had a blast. Yeah. I had a blast, and I'm sure we'll give them the full lowdown. You know,
we got plenty of time.
Actually a lot of fun, but I definitely need to learn more about football to be able to pay attention for an entire game.
Yeah, I could see that. But you did a good job hanging in there.
Did I seem interested?
Yeah, and people had asked me later on, you know, who's that guy? So, you know, it's funny you said that, how long it was. Every single time when my wife doesn't come to the game with the kids and she asks what time the game is, I tell her, she always asks what time the game is. I tell her, and then she says, when are you leaving? And I tell her to go to the game. And then she always says, oh, okay, you're leaving at 9:30 for a 1 o'clock game, huh? Okay. All right. So see you at what, 9 p.m.?
Right.
So you'll be gone almost 12 hours.
Right.
Every single time.
Tailgating takes a lot of time.
Well, especially if you want a good spot.
Right.
But, okay. So with that, all right. So, Dan, we do have to do a recap of the game. And
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
I know. It's just, you know,
I've never seen you this down.
I mean, you saw me go, we saw us go out there. It was ready. I put up a flag for the first time in the tailgate.
You were so excited.
A Something's Brewing flag.
Yep.
I had Something's Brewing memorabilia.
Yep.
And again, we're going to go on a crescendo here through this episode. But did you know we'd never lost to San Diego State, and we had been playing them for, I believe, like, nah, I don't know, almost 100 years, 97 years.
You're being serious. You're being literal.
Yes.
100. They've been playing for 100 years.
97, I think, is the exact words or the exact time.
Wow. But, and when was the first time we lost to them?
Saturday. Thanks for pointing that out.
Great.
So, you know what? You know what? It reminds me of what's that one movie? Anchorman?
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Perfect. That's exactly what I was thinking. Man. So we lost 23-14, and they said there was 35,000 people there, but I highly doubt it. It was super hot. And there's only, we talked, the last episode was called All You Gotta Do Is Win, Baby. These are the types of games that all you gotta do is win. We've lost to Cincinnati twice since Chip's gotten here. We lost to Fresno State last year, and now we lost to San Diego State. And I've made this comment. I made this comment on actually the Loose Cannons with Steve Hartman last week. I got interviewed by the San Diego radio. Thanks for putting me on. But I made this comment on their show, and I'll say it again here. Not one player from San Diego State, Fresno State, or Cincinnati twice chose those schools over UCLA. Okay.
Interesting way to look at it.
I don't know that with 100% certainty,
but it's a safe assumption.
I think it's a really safe assumption that not one of their players. That's just a potential fact.
Right.
So those are the types of games that you're going to win. That you got to win, and we are 0-4 in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing I guarantee you is that every single starter on Oklahoma, okay? Oklahoma. I guarantee you that every single one of them,
mm-hmm.
if they did get offered from UCLA, they chose Oklahoma.
Right, right.
Or they said, you know, don't recruit me. I would never go there. So, well, you got to win those games. And I talked about this weeks before about us playing fantastic last year, at least showing a bunch of heart at the beginning of the first half of the Oklahoma game. So I don't know if I can do that every single time I say Oklahoma. But
sorry.
But do we just go up to our play, up to our competition? Okay, well then when where does the blame go when we play down to our competition against players that were not as highly sought after as ours? So where
does this put Chip Kelly? Is he like polishing up his LinkedIn profile? Like what?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Not a chance. The inside scoop I've gotten is that no matter how mad you want to get about anything that's happening right now with him, is that he's got at least, you know, like a 3 to 4 year runway to get it all figured out.
Gotcha.
So he's a super analytical guy. You listened to him with me on the ride home.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's a little crazy to hear him actually.
Well, what do you mean?
Exactly? Just because it's partly like the stream of consciousness football 101 thing,
uh-huh.
but it's also like he remembers everything that happened during the game.
Yeah.
He's like, well, we had a fumble in the first quarter. It was about 2 minutes and 35 seconds into that play. And then when we fumble the ball, but you got to fumble the ball and then you got to retrieve the ball. But he's like literally just.
It keeps going and going and
going. Going and going and going.
And almost like you find out like 4 minutes later, you think, well, I guess I believe like whatever he said sounds good.
It sounds
and,
great.
And I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah,
thanks for anybody else want to ask another question?
Exactly. Oh, wait, who are we playing next week?
Thank you. So let's get to the, you know, again, the most important person on the team in terms of the plane, which was DTR. He had a better game from a statistical standpoint, but I got to tell you, I felt like his body language was no better than it had been in weeks past and in games past of last year. I didn't love some of his body language, and I feel like in a moment of San Diego in that game at San Diego State, we probably could have used a little more leadership and a little more, heaven forbid, a little rah-rah and get the guys going. So,
right.
Because Chip, from what I'm seeing, he's not that type of guy. He's not much of a rah-rah guy. And for some reason, I feel like Chip is wary to disrupt any of the potential confidence that DTR has. By seemingly not even considering the opportunity that they may want to give someone else a chance to play quarterback. So, but what are we going to do? Wait till we're 0-5 again to potentially make another to give someone else a chance to compete out there? If you wait till you're 0-5, think of the pressure that comes on that person.
Right.
Like, no one's expecting any quarterback to play well against Oklahoma or to beat Oklahoma.
Right.
Right. So the expectations, I think it's a perfect opportunity to at least put a little pressure on DTR to play even better, because it almost seems to me like he's got nothing to worry about because Chip's not going to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see a little healthy competition. Like, what's wrong with letting two guys play, three series and another three series and see what happens. Maybe there's a spark there. Because one thing that I know for sure is that all the talking heads that do this for a full-blown living are all jumping on the Chip Kelly bandwagon that he caught lightning in a bottle at Oregon. And ever since then, he hasn't had a very good record. And, and maybe it's just was that one moment of time. Well, if you went back and looked at it, he had three NFL quarterbacks in a row in Dennis Dixon, Daron Thomas, and Marcus Mariota. So, three quarterbacks in a row that went to the NFL, and I'm an ex-quarterback that didn't get a chance to play in the NFL, but I did play as a redshirt freshman and as a redshirt sophomore, and I would like to see a little bit more, admittance mm-hmm. from Chip. Mm-hmm. To maybe say, like, look, we got two other quarterbacks in Austin Burton and Chase Griffin that played more high school football than DTR did.
Is that right?
One guy threw for 9,000 yards. The other guy threw for 10,000 yards. Chase Griffin was the Texas Gatorade Player of the Year, for God's sakes.
Holy cow.
So you never know who's going to be potentially give us the type of spark you need. And then you can develop that person as well. So I just don't like the way that I think it's just because Chip is so, set in his analytical way, and he's got a process and an analytical approach to the game that he can't imagine or think that Austin Burton or Chase Griffin could do anything better because they haven't had the snaps in practice.
Right.
But can you throw to a wide open guy? Like, you don't have to have that much practice. I mean, the guys have to know a little bit of the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them have been there multiple years. I mean, mm-hmm. there was games where I got knocked out and my backups came in and they were still able to run the plays. They're supposed to know the plays, for God's sake.
That's the point.
And then when you have guys that are open, then you just got to give them the ball and not make stupid mistakes. But, I mean, you take it, and I'm getting frustrated, obviously, because I go over there and I watch USC play. They have a fantastic game with a freshman quarterback that wasn't supposed to be the starter all year, throws for 300 yards, and beats a ranked Stanford team.
Holy cow.
Okay? You follow me?
I do.
And you don't even know anything about football.
I don't know a thing. No, but you know what I do know? Where else can someone download a podcast and get this kind of analysis from a former quarterback?
Yeah.
No, I'm being dead serious. Like, I'm sitting here kind of as a listener almost.
Well, I'll answer that. It's the analysis that I'm giving so far is not crazy, right?
Yeah.
This is not an in-depth analysis. This is almost more of an opinion aspect, because I can tell.
Yeah, but an opinion forged from having been in that spot.
Yeah.
Well, on the field at the Rose Bowl.
I hear you.
Throwing passes.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't break down the first five third downs of the game, right? The third and shorts and all the third and medians and all the third and longs and why did we run that play on fourth and one? Why don't we call a timeout when we should have? I'm talking just overall feeling of of the team and overall feeling of body language and overall, like, let's be honest, like, as of right now, I'm not confident that we have a future NFL quarterback on our hands. So maybe we have a future NFL quarterback on the sideline and right. we just don't know yet
right.
because heaven forbid he hasn't gotten enough snaps in practice. Well, you're right. We're 0-5 right. against non-power conference teams.
Yeah.
So what do we have to lose?
What do we have to lose? Yeah.
So anyway, I will give a congratulations to Rocky Long, though, former UCLA defensive coordinator. Always did. He's the head coach of San Diego State, by the way. Mm. And another thing, by the way, like, you think anyone feels sorry for UCLA being a little bit down? We're still UCLA. We got $100+ million Under Armour contract. Every single team that plays us, even Oklahoma. Oklahoma's coming in Rose Bowl. You think they give a shit that we're down right now? They want to put their foot on our throats right. and drown us. You think the San Diego State kids went home after their victory and said we're not as fired up because UCLA's down? No, right. we're UCLA. Okay, yeah. We signed the largest marketing contract with Under Armour because we're UCLA. So no matter who we play, no matter how shitty we are at the time, they will want to crush us because they're still in the back of their minds a little jealous.
Because it's UCLA.
Because it's UCLA, right? And I was thinking about, am I really going to go off and do a little bit of a rant? Because I've tried to stay, you know, very polite. But no, enough.
Yeah.
Enough. Well, and then here we move on. But thanks to thanks to the fans that did come out. We're going to talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show in Brooklyn's Bridge. But thanks to all the fans that did make it. Thanks to some of our close guests. You know, we had Travis Ware. His brother David couldn't make it. He wasn't feeling great. And, you know, Joe Fourier, who lost a whole bunch of weight. You know, that was a tall, tight end.
Yeah,
remember?
Sure.
You guys had some good conversations. Rodney Leslie, who sure could use, we sure could use Joe, we sure could use Rodney. And then a shout out to the San Diego State crew with Robert Griffith.
Yeah, I tried to get those guys to suit up and go down to the field, but they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Maybe we could put them in down the road or just fool somebody. So looking forward to actually another game at the Rose Bowl, because what else is going on a beautiful Saturday in Pasadena? You might as well go. The game at least is a little bit later this week at 5 p.m. Look, Oklahoma scored 70 points last week. Granted, it was against South Dakota, but you know, I would imagine, in like I said earlier, I will not be surprised if we give Oklahoma a run for their money, because we're going to play up to that competition. And I hope that we get a chance to talk about how mad we are that we lost to Cincinnati and San Diego State because we actually hung in there and, heaven forbid, beat Oklahoma.
Right.
Which I can't imagine we're going to do. But if we do, all I'm going to do is point back to my point earlier about the fact that all the teams we lost to had guys that didn't get recruited by us. So it's possible. We got the guys on the field.
Have faith.
And not to mention, we've had there's a couple conflicting numbers, but we have like 19 people that are returning that actually started last year. Now, granted, we have a few injuries, but it's not like we have two or three or four. And mm-hmm. we also talked about how Chip could have went to Florida. Florida's not looking like we are right now. Right? Like Florida it was up to UCLA or Florida. Florida's doing just fine.
Yeah.
They got three quarterbacks in the roster that are potentially playing the NFL. You know, we don't have anybody that's any good at quarterback. Well, Some of the guys that backed me up played in the NFL more than I did.
Yeah?
Yes. JP Lossman transferred, got drafted in the first round. Matt Moore transferred, played in the NFL for 12, 15 years.
UCLA.
You know, it's like, come on. Like, where are they? Anyway. Okay. So head out to the game, 5 p.m. All right.
Hey, people can just go to hang out with us. That's fine.
Yeah, now that we got the flag, that was kind of cool. So awesome. For those of you that certainly didn't see it, because if you were in this one specific tailgate area, lot 5A, then it wasn't that tall, but it was a 20-foot portable tailgate
flagpole. It was so good.
With a blue and gold, something's brewing written on it, and a hashtag number 10 on the other side.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever done something like that. I've been to, I don't know, 500 football games from a tailgate standpoint.
Seriously.
I felt a little awkward doing it, but it's like I said, hey, in episode 28, we're taking it to the next level.
That's right,
so
baby.
You got to embrace it.
That's
You've been pumping out the Instagram a little bit.
Sure.
Right?
I'm going to be looking for people to interview next week.
Yeah.
I'm going to be shaking hands because everyone wants to meet producer Dan.
Of course.
You know
your work. Some people did know who you were.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, they said they thought you would be a little taller.
Well, I'm not. And I do want to say thank you very much to Travis, especially Travis and Joe, for bending over enough so that we could have conversations. I thought that was really nice.
You're like, boy, that guy Joe's really tall. And then you met
Travis
6'10
is like,
basketball player.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, I hear you, man.
4 inches taller. Thanks.
Yeah, but great guys, and we appreciate
Absolutely,
it. So quick on the Pac-12 highlights. Let's move this along. But I probably could have done a whole show I could do a straight hour about why I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
But let's move on. This is not just a UCLA football show. All right, Pac-12 highlights. Number 14, Washington lost to unranked Cal. Oh, feel bad for my old brother and the Huskies.
Yeah.
Because you know that they were thinking that this was their year to go back to the get to the semifinals and blah, blah, blah. UCLA looks good. USC looks good. Sorry, Freudian slipper.
Wow.
Or just wish what I want. It's like the secret. You just wish what it is.
Right.
You want it to come to you.
Exactly.
You don't want to pay any more bills? No problem.
You just put it on your image board. And
it comes. And I'm only somewhat joking about that, by the way. So they upset number 23. I talked about the freshman QB. Utah's still looking good against actually a very good Northern Illinois team. For those of you that have been following college football over the years, Northern Illinois has been very, very good for a non-power conference team. Colorado won in overtime against Nebraska.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. One of my coworkers, my big buddy Bill, was there. He said it was just so loud and what a great experience. And then Washington State and Oregon cruise to a combined 138 points. We scored 23. And then Hawaii beats another Pac-12 team in a row, this time Oregon State. So that same team that got beat by Hawaii, Arizona, last week, Arizona scored 65 in a win. So we play Oklahoma, mm-hmm. then Washington State,
yes.
who's scored like 150 points in two games.
Great.
And then Arizona, who scored 65 last week.
Fantastic.
So it's going to get exciting. Yeah, could be we thought it couldn't get any worse than last year, and I don't want it to, and I hope it doesn't. But rest of the top 25, number 21 Syracuse lost to an unranked Maryland.
Oh,
Michigan
really?
Barely beat Army in two overtimes. I can't imagine that meeting room with John Harbaugh after barely beating Army. I mean, that guy, his khakis, I bet his khakis were
really riding up.
Yeah. Clemson and A&M was a good game. It was a pretty good game, but then Clemson hangs on 24-10 at home. And I can tell you right now, I guarantee you Texas A&M is going to be good, I promise. And then the game of the weekend from a top 25 standpoint, Texas loses to LSU, but 45-38, but a very entertaining game, and you got to like the hype for two highly ranked teams at the beginning of the year. So I enjoyed that. So let's move the chains over to the rest of the quick sports update. Love it. U.S. Open. Our buddy Diego Schwartzman put up a good fight against Rafael Nadal.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He really did. And you could see the crowd. We are not alone in rooting for Diego Schwartzman.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Oh, yeah. That New York crowd was so,
love him.
So pumping him up and really feeling it.
Well, where did you say he's from? Puerto Rico?
Argentina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sure,
you know,
a big
Diego Schwartzman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, big Argentina contention there. And then Federer lost to Dimitrov 3-2 after being up 2-1. I was so sad.
Roger,
remember I said Roger and Serena were going to win it?
Right.
And then following with that lovable loser mentality, which you're going to hit on later, is Bianca Andreescu, the 19-year-old Canadian, beat Serena in the finals.
Oh.
So that's four Grand Slam losses in a row for Serena Williams, and she hasn't won a big Grand Slam since she had her baby. So, and then Rafael Nadal actually won his another Grand Slam final and beat Medvedev from the Russian.
Medvedev.
In an over 5-hour battle, was a really good good match, actually. I didn't watch the whole thing because I had plenty
five,
of...
5 hours?
5 hours.
Come on, guys.
But the best part about the U.S. Open, it is sad. I'm actually sad to see it end. This was my first year ever, you know, since we've had our show for, you know, almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be cool.
Wait a minute, really?
Yeah. Well, you think about it. We started at like the game three or four last year. We're going into game three. So we're almost on our anniversary. Wow. We've got to do a big show for that.
Speaking of anniversaries.
Yes. What's that?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think. What do you mean?
Well, this is 2019.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, what happened 20 years ago this
that's
weekend?
That's true. So Dan's referring to, this is the 20th anniversary. I was named the starting quarterback in the third game of the year 20 years ago.
Nice.
So we actually taken down a little. Yeah, exactly. So, but here I'm going to go on a rant again, Dan. So I was getting so excited. Actually, we're actually buying some ad space. Okay. On AM 570, all right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to...
Like terrestrial radio?
Yeah, terrestrial radio, because that's not dead.
Cutting
Everybody
edge.
Listens
yeah.
to it. So we're actually going to take down a little ad space, and we're going to do something about the 20th anniversary. Right. And now I feel like it's like I'm so upset that now I'm going to go try and put a smile on my face and say, hey, listen to the show. Hey. It's Something's Brewing. Can you believe 20 years ago? You know what I mean?
Right. But, yeah, 20 years ago. Although, maybe, hey, remember 20 years ago when I was the quarterback?
Yeah. Well, and then you don't want to be condescending.
You don't want to be a jerk,
but
right.
then you're like, hey, everybody thought I sucked 20 years ago.
miss me now.
Yeah, anyway. But see, I'm not going to.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't
that.
Do that. Of course not.
You can't do that because we have faith that this, come on.
Well, and we do have faith. And I'm excited to get to the crescendo.
So, but people in Los Angeles or who listen online can hear your ads on 570.
Except we never know when.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's that's the beauty of podcasts. You listen when you want. You don't like it, you turn it off. It's free.
Right. Yeah, but on the radio,
I already agreed to the contract. It ain't free to put it on terrestrial radio and no one knows what it's going to be on.
So wait a minute. So during the game,
it's
when
like
we're
the commercial
at the
breaks.
Game, we would have to listen at the game.
We're gonna have to be those old school the old school guys with the radios in their ears that are at the Major League Baseball.
Yes, exactly.
That's gonna keeping the baseball book with a pencil, with a number two pencil.
Yeah.
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
I actually kind of do.
You do?
Yeah.
I remember keeping the book as a kid in the.
Okay, I really don't. What is that? Literally a log of all the plays?
Yeah, no, not plays. You're such an idiot.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
The plays, no, in baseball, the batters.
The batters.
Not the betting book. What are you, Pete Rose? It's the batter that's coming up. You've never seen this little picture of a triangle?
Sure.
First, second, third, and see if you get a single, you move the line to the first base.
Yeah, yeah.
Never mind. I'm gonna show you a picture of this later. All right.
Who are you, Pete Rose?
Yeah, what are you, Pete Rose? All right, so we don't have anything to talk. That was perfect though. We talked a little bit about baseball because I left that out on purpose.
Oh, nice.
So before we get into the first at week one of the NFL recap, let's start with the Antonio Brown saga. Just when you thought it couldn't get any crazier, and I actually heard you talking to some people, Dan, I felt like you didn't even know what they were referring to.
It was like he was talking Klingon to me Star Trek convention. Yeah.
I told them that you and I do the show together.
Yeah.
And then I talked to another person to my left, and you were talking to the right, and I heard them say, what do you think of Antonio Brown? And I almost stopped my conversation and said, Dan, I'm sorry, Dan, what do you think about Antonio Brown? Who's that again?
Right.
What sport does he play?
Right. I think it's great they let him go. You know, it's about time. I mean, this guy, he's off the rails.
Yeah, he's just all about himself.
You know, I saw this coming. I've been saying this for weeks.
So
I got to practice.
There's a couple things that I heard about today. So there's a couple aspects to this that I thought were a little bit unique. So I heard one of the sports shows interviewed the guy that videoed was filming him all day the guy that shot the social media video where he recorded John Gruden's conversation, which is illegal in California, by the way, you can't, if he didn't have consent. So he basically was filming him all day because Antonio Brown has this new social media horse whisperer. Okay.
That, really?
That shows you how to expand your brand and make a whole bunch of money in social media.
Right. I'm sure that's free.
Same person that, same person that works for Kendall Jenner. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole piece about that. And this guy's talking, he's like, we were literally recording. And then he gets a call from Gruden. And so I just kept recording. And then we used all this black and white footage that we were going to use for another video, and we just spliced in his conversation on top of it. And then this you can tell he's a young kid, like a young producer. That
right?
I mean, and if he's a big time, forgive me, bro. I don't know who you are, but I'm sure maybe you're bigger than you are. But you can't be, because you should have known better.
Right. See, that's the thing, is a lot of social media people don't read up on communications law.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And so then you see, and then I heard a little bit that Gruden knew he was being recorded. I don't believe that. So then I also listened to Drew Rosenhaus, who's Antonio Brown's agent, who you don't know who this is, but many of the listeners do. So he's like the most bombastic, you know, flamboyant sports agent on the planet. And he's represented some huge guys, because he obviously is good at what he does. He has a long history with the Patriots. So then it's hard to believe when you start looking at sort of some of the things that have happened. When the Patriots tried to trade for Antonio Brown from the Steelers, and the Steelers told him, go F yourself, because we don't want him playing against us twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the Raiders, never really is involved in it, has an issue with his helmet. So that's what his agent keeps saying. Oh, it was an issue with his helmet and blah, blah, blah. And let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that's true, because he's been wearing the same helmet since college and since the NFL. So you don't have to look far to see that the NFL settled a hundreds of million dollar lawsuit about head injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So as a lawyer, right, they're like, no, dude, we settled hundreds of millions of dollars, and we had to change the helmets and the old helmets. They're right. Not admitting guilt, but any person with a brain that still has a brain would say, yeah, the helmets used to suck. Yeah. The technology wasn't great.
We got better ones.
And everybody was hitting each other in the head at 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So we got better ones, and now it's illegal to hit each other. We got better ones, and it's illegal to hit with it, because we're just trying to not pay another couple hundred million dollars.
Right.
So put on a new helmet, bro.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that. And then apparently they said that the Raiders sent him a letter stating that if he didn't wear the helmet, then he could potentially forfeit the money. So this dude is he that sort of high maintenance that, again, I just described about the lawsuits in the NFL and your own potential safety, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And you're that bugged out about it? I mean, I just have to change helmets all the time. Yeah, I get it. It feels one way or another, and you want to feel good about it. But if you're that sick of an athlete.
Right. If they give you a new helmet, can't you just wear it around for a couple of days to get used to it?
Pretty sure you can.
Like a man? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure. Anyway, so that was what Rosenhaus kept saying, that was his biggest issue. Like, because basically he felt like, okay, no way the Raiders are going to do me like that. You're going to call me out and threaten some of my guaranteed money because I love my helmet.
Mm-hmm.
But mind you, Dan, and everyone else knows this, but mind you, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Everyone else on the team and in the NFL, this isn't new. They didn't just single out Antonio Brown.
No, you have to wear the new helmets.
Yeah, and they don't just give you one helmet. There's multiple options. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's not just everybody. You know, it's not utopian
one
society.
One size fits all.
Yeah. Here's your mining helmet.
Right. Good luck.
Here's with the light. We're going to need you to show up for work.
Right. But also, the NFL is a business. The team is a business. They have to insure all the players. And if one of the guys won't wear the required helmet, that is a business problem.
I know. And we talked a little bit about the business problem that we see happening with the Andrew Luck not having to pay back that money.
Yep.
So anyway, he goes to the New England Patriots, and everybody knows the history about New England getting people that might be questionable from a character standpoint. But this is beyond questionable. Like, anybody can talk shit about Randy Moss and his potential character flaws back in the day. But when Randy Moss got to the Patriots, he was nothing like this. Okay. So everyone's comparing the Randy Moss and Antonio Brown, but this is nowhere near the same. And if Belichick successfully accomplishes this, then you will never be able to convince me that this wasn't planned from the get-go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like bullshit to me, right?
And the social media thing, I don't know how the Patriots, I guess it's their right, it's their brand. Like, I can't imagine you put a social media boycott on your players and whatnot. But if Belichick and Brady and the Patriots have a successful season and Antonio Brown makes it all the way, then I already thought Belichick was by far the best coach ever in the history of the world, and no one will ever surpass him. But if they manipulated it to get it to that point, then everyone's going to – they're the Patriots. They're so polarizing. Everybody thinks they cheat already.
Right.
So no. This is not helping that argument.
No, not at all.
But if they can manage this guy's ego, holy cow, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait.
It makes good TV.
Makes great TV. So with that, we're going to go for a quick recap on the NFL. So the Packers and the Bears, we're going to talk more about that a little bit later because I was at that game.
Yes.
We're going to do that in the travel section, but that was a real barn burner, 10-3. Bills come back and beat the Jets, our poor boy, Grant's Rants.
New York Falcons, against New York.
Yeah, Matt Ryan had a shitty game, lost to the Vikings. Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson looks sweet.
Yeah.
Love the way he played. And I hope he can sustain it. Like to see Baltimore win that division. And I liked Lamar Jackson in college, and I so far first game, he looks awesome. Looks like they're running the right types of plays for him. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, he's just sweet. Love that. I love his commercial with Brett Favre, too. I don't know if anybody watched that. Or actually, it wasn't a commercial. It was a little special on Sunday Night Football. I love Brett Favre, too. And, you know, it's a little humble brag, though, Dan. When I was in high school, I used to do a little bit of a no-look pass. Not in the pocket.
Yeah.
I used to do it on the run.
Right.
Because it was easier. You knew you weren't going to get sacked, and it's high school. You know, right. It's I never did it in college.
Right.
But I did a no-look pass multiple times in high school.
Nice.
Mahomes is doing it in the NFL, although he did miss Kelce for a wide-open touchdown with the no-look pass. Titans look great. The Cleveland Browns are... A little bit of social media on that. you know, we've talked about the Browns. I said the Browns are not going to be good. I was right about that so far. The Rams actually hung in there on the road against the Panthers. Didn't think that watching half of that game, didn't think they were actually going to win. They actually did. So the hometown team. Where else are we at? The Redskins lost to the Eagles. Eagles look good. I always have been a huge fan of DeSean Jackson. He's a Pac-10 at the time, but a Pac-12 guy. The surprise that he's still doing that at that age, he's no young buck anymore, but 250-plus yard touchdowns, he looked good. Andy Dalton looked great in a losing effort to the Seahawks. What else? Chargers won in overtime. That was great. Another one I want to highlight next. Dallas Cowboys. So Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, new offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, young guy, younger than me. I think he's in his early 30s maybe. Played quarterback at Boise State, left-hander. Dak Prescott has always looked good as a quarterback for the Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like looking down thinking, I'm not by myself. There's another person in here. But the way Prescott looked in that game, and people are calling Kellen Moore the quarterback whisperer, uh-huh. the next quarterback whisperer.
Oh, yeah.
I can't argue with that. Prescott looked like then took it to the next level.
Yeah, well, good.
Just like something's brewing doing. Something's brewing's doing.
Something's brewing.
The Cardinals. I talked a lot of shit about Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury not being successful. So I didn't see a lot of great things. I don't know how good the Detroit Lions are, but they tied in overtime, and Kyler Murray did have a decent comeback in the fourth quarter. So I'm going to have to hold off on my shit talking on that yet.
Yeah.
Because he did some good things in the fourth quarter. I can't imagine that Detroit's very good, but and there was a lot of things during the game that I didn't love, but we're going to have to keep our eyes on that. The 49ers, Joey Garoppolo coming back. Nice victory for him. And then the Patriots Steelers, I mean, they put up this sign or this little montage in during the Sunday Night Football game. I'm sure if you watched it, you saw it, but there was you know, like over 20 years, like Brady and Belichick and two or three other guys have been on the Patriots since 2001, which is when they won their first Super Bowl. You know, they just put up the banner. Gotcha. At the Sunday night game, like okay. So, you know when you raise the banner,
sure,
okay, like because you win a championship,
yeah.
By the way, you saw Ninkovich. Remember that guy that is in the Hall of Fame in my high school, where they did that article. He was down there.
Oh no!
And when I saw him out there on national TV, I thought, well, maybe that's the reason that my high school retired his number before mine. I guess so.
I think so.
Maybe I should shut up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so. I forget where I was going with that. Okay. Since 2001, there's five guys. They put the picture up of what they look like then and what they look like today.
No.
And four out of the five, minus Tom Brady, looked definitely older and definitely not as good.
Right.
Okay. And Tom Brady somehow looks far better than he did 20 years ago.
And that's just not right.
It's hard to believe.
How is that possible?
Yeah, and I guess it's not 20. 2001. So
the Benjamin
18,
Button
18,
of the NFL? Like, what
I don't
is
know.
Happening?
I mean, his jawline looks better. So, like, I was borderline trying to, like, say, go back and look and see if he got plastic surgery, okay? Like, he looked a little like a chubby 20-something-year-old, and now he looks
now like
he doesn't eat anything that's not perfect for him.
Right.
And they actually made the comment about that. The proof is in the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So right now the Texans are playing the Saints on Monday Night Football. It's Monday. So we'll maybe get a little recap of that if it's worthy of it. So with that, let's cascade over to pop culture and politics. Not a lot going on in pop culture and politics for this week, but I do want to talk about a couple things. One being YouTube got fined another $170 million. Google, basically, for giving out children's information without parental consent. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't. Okay. Holy cow. Who thought that was a good idea?
Well, not only that, it's like, well, what are they doing with the kids' information, right? Like, you can't...
How do you even get it?
I looked into, because you know how we always talk about social media and just, those types of organizations taking over the world. And Facebook famously getting fined. They got fined $5 billion not that long ago, okay, for privacy violations. $5 billion. And then you looked at Google has paid billions of dollars in fines from a privacy standpoint.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if it's obviously that much, when you're spending that much money,
mm-hmm.
because you're clearly violating things.
Mm-hmm.
You must be doing it because you're... wait for it. Yeah, I just had an idea.
Okay.
You're spending that much money on fines knowingly and just okay with it because that's how much money you're actually making.
Yeah, so much money.
So much money.
The fine is really not a big deal.
Right, it's all relative if you think about it. Michael Jordan, Odell Beckham Jr., he got fined for wearing a watch during the game. Okay, so he got fined very little, but I guarantee you he has a deal worked out with the watch company.
Yeah,
that's going to pay him more than the fine.
Right.
So if you go on social media right now, and I think with Antonio Brown happening, we've talked plenty about social media. Okay, but I think that there's like this. It's like almost like the critical. There's something critical happening here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, how are you going to start treating that? Because you're going to go start following the money? And I'm not saying Odell Beckham or these social media companies are going to need to be investigated for money laundering. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure that, but you know how much money some of the YouTube people make?
Millions.
Especially the ones that do stuff for kids.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's somewhat public. You can find the lists.
Mm-hmm.
So these players are going to get paid for doing shit like that on social media. And how are you going to crack down on that?
Right.
You're going to have way more issues from a legal standpoint. It's like, fine me. So they're going to have to rewrite the rules, all that shit. I was looking at some, like, it's really scary to me of how much they can pay in fines for violating our privacy.
Right.
Yet
and
they consistently do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Because it's such a little amount of money compared to what they're making. It's
Operating costs, it's just,
whatever.
It frustrates me,
it's
and
scary.
I don't love it. I don't love it at all.
Big Brother's next,
I know. Next thing you know, you're not going to be able to find something's brewing online.
Hey, don't. Yeah, well.
Okay, so next one, Hurricane Dorian. We talked about it being a real humdinger.
Holy
and
cow.
And you love the United States, so thankfully it didn't hit the United States, but also been to the Bahamas multiple times. Love the Bahamas, and they got
fucking bad.
Crushed,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, and when we put out the show last week, only five had died. I think it's upwards of 40 now.
Wow. And the Bahamas have just been wiped out. I mean, it's
not
just
all of the Bahamas, but the pictures
are
terrible.
The damage is unbelievable.
Yeah, and through that, I also did a little more research. I saw this guy, Josh Morgerman. Have you seen him? He's called the Hurricane Man.
No.
This dude, we talked about it last week, about drones getting inside with the stadium effect.
Oh, yeah.
This guy goes into the middle of them personally.
No.
He went to the Bahamas.
How do you get
And then no one can heard from him for like 3 days, and he emerges. And guess what happens? He gets 1 million views on social media.
Oh, my God.
Right?
For
national TV. For surviving the Dorian in the Bahamas.
Wow, that's nuts.
I will admit this, though. I was that kind of kid. Growing up in the Midwest, when you hear the tornado siren, the first reaction for most people is to go into the basement.
Right, go downstairs. Yeah.
I went outside.
Yeah.
Like, first.
Where is it?
Where is it? Is it close?
I can't wait.
And I've seen a couple of smaller tornadoes in person, but I was a little bit of attracted. I was a little attracted to that sort of chaos.
Yeah.
Hence my love for organized chaos.
Yes.
But anyway, I thought that was a little interesting and reminded me of being a kid. So let's pack our bags for the travel section. So I appreciate that, Dan, because I did a quick trip to Chicago for Thursday Night Football, opening NFL game.
Yes.
Shout out to my man, Tori, at Proven IT. And shout out to the Helpins, because I hadn't seen them in a while. We grew up together. They grew up across the street, and they have had season tickets for years. And I never used to go with them when we were growing up, or even when we got a little older. And now that I live in Los Angeles, I get to see them even more now, because it's always my opportunity to get to see them. So love you guys. It was really, really great catching up. But here's my point. Besides the first of all, the game sucked. Okay. I can't believe I flew all the way there.
Seriously?
I did go with a client, though, and I know that they had fun because they're Packers fans and they won, even though the game was only 10-3. But to go that far, I literally flew out in the morning, went to the game, and practically went straight to the airport, flew right back.
Oh.
Okay.
Holy cow.
That you just yawned. That's exactly what it was. So, but here's the key. Have you ever flown somewhere?
Yes.
Not in a day trip. Mm-hmm. Flown somewhere overnight. Mm-hmm. Without any luggage?
Never.
Okay, this is like my fourth time doing it. It is the most exhilarating experience of travel.
It must feel like you're going commando,
it
right?
It feels fantastic.
Just like freedom.
So I always grab one of my older pair of boxers.
Yeah.
And I just throw them away.
Yeah.
And I go home commando.
You do.
Or if I have enough room in my pockets, I'll fold up an extra pair of boxers.
So you're talking not even a backpack,
nothing,
briefcase, nothing.
I bring a phone
completely
and a phone charger.
Empty handed.
And you know how long my phone charger is?
Hmm.
It's a 3-inch one. You ever tried to get anything done with a 3-inch charger? But I don't want it to take up too much. I don't want it to take up too much space in my skinny jeans.
Right, exactly.
Well, I'm serious. Do you have any 3-inch chargers?
Yeah, they're useless.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then if you don't have one of those USB plugs that's in the light,
right, you're screwed.
Then you got to put it into a real plug. Then you got to put a bunch of books
on the floor,
or a bottle or something, or like get something else to stand it up high enough, because you can't let it hang there. Because if it falls out overnight, now you're out of power.
Then what? Yeah.
Then now that's literally the only thing you have is your phone or your wallet.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend it. If you've never done it before, try it. One thing I love doing it for is any bachelor parties, right? Because who wants to be, needs to be at this age, who needs to be at a bachelor party for 2 nights? Yeah. I don't even argue with my wife. I'm like, I'm going for 1 night, honey.
And that's
even easier.
Right.
Right. And if you're going to go out that night, then you go in casual clothes, you buy an outfit, and you go in old casual clothes.
Genius.
And then you buy a new outfit, and now you're feeling good, and you maybe keep the sweat, the pullover.
Maybe,
and then you just throw the pullover on the going out shirt.
Sure.
And so you don't look like this the night after. You remember, like, you would see the kids in college walking home carrying their high heels?
Exactly. The walk of shame.
Anyway, I was thinking as I was watching the Bears get just crushed in just the most boring game ever that I love the Bears. I love the Cubs until recently were the lovable losers. And I went to UCLA.
Okay.
Bruins. Mm-hmm. Baby Bears. Bears, Cubby Bears, and Baby Bears.
Oh.
And I never even realized it.
Oh.
And after the game in San Diego State, I'm thinking, maybe I need to find a new animal.
Yeah, maybe Goldilocks. What the fuck?
That's funny. But
it's a whole thing, though, man.
I know. And I mean, it's obvious. But my point is I didn't even realize it. I should have realized that a long time ago.
No offense, but yeah.
You know, it's things like the Dr. Obvious things. Like you're like, does that been there the whole time, honey?
Right, exactly.
What, our garage?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The white garage door? Yeah, you replaced that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so finally, we're going to cross over to Brooklyn's Bridge for the last part of the show. We hope you stick around because then you're going to know. So I realize, you know, that we may have some, I know we have some new listeners.
We do.
Okay, which is, again, very exciting. Thank you, thank you, thank you all for coming on. And a huge thank you to everyone that's been here from day one. Okay. So let me tell the new listeners and some of our older listeners who might not know exactly why we're doing it, but what the Brooklyn's Bridge is all about. Okay. Cause I can't imagine that our new listeners is going to got nothing going on. They're going to go back and listen to 28 plus hours of content.
No, I don't think so.
But you never know. You never know. But so the whole point of Brooklyn's Bridge is number one, our oldest daughter, not Dan and I's oldest daughter.
Yeah, we don't have any daughters.
But our oldest daughter, my wife and I's oldest daughter is, her name is Brooklyn. And I wanted to bring her in. And for a while we messed around with maybe bringing her on the show to show the gap or the bridge of politics, meaning that that it's Brooklyn's Bridge. And, it, you know, with Trump becoming elected, it felt like it was like the, you know, it's just got so political and so much division and so on and so forth. We're going to bring in a 7-year-old.
Sure.
Ask her political questions.
Right.
And say, look, 7-year-old gets it.
Right.
And that's going to be called Brooklyn's Bridge.
She was going to bring the country together.
Right. Bridge both sides. Then we thought maybe we shouldn't be so political to do that. So we turned it into motivational.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're bridging yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
To a better place.
That's right.
So every now and then we're going to go political, but we're not doing that today. So one thing we also have talked about in episodes past, and as a reminder to the regular listeners, and as a shout out, and an update for the new listeners is the pause laws. Mm. So again, my last name is pause, like the button on the verse VCR without the E. Okay. It's not pause like the old country.
What do people say?
Well, sometimes it's like, but that's how it was pronounced originally.
Well,
right. Like, it's, I mean, come on, it's just pause. It's not pause, but it's like pause is way better in my opinion. So I was struggling with that attitude, right, Dan? We talked about it last week about taking something's brewing to the next level.
Yeah.
I made a freaking flag, for God's sakes, a 20-foot tent pole.
Yeah.
Okay?
Bringing it,
okay? And after that, I was so down for a brief moment, and then I literally, you know, we had a barbecue yesterday, so it was like I didn't think about it much. And then I was thinking about getting ready for the show, the Brooklyn's Bridge section of the show, and about how much, you know, I was a little bit down. And I literally got, you know, we talk about notes from the universe, which I highly recommend everyone signing up for. I literally got a note from the universe, an email this morning that says, and I cut out a little bit so it's not so long, but, and I quote, "You'll know when you need to know, and not a moment earlier." That's how it works when you're looking, that how it works when the answer you're looking for depends on other events that must first settle. New players, that's the key word that caught me. Mm. New players that need to be gathered and serendipities that are still being calculated. Sometimes not even I know until I know, but you will. Does that make sense? Let me do it one more time.
That sounds custom made for Brooklyn's Bridge. But
I know. I can't take it for our own.
There's so much in
there. You'll know when you need to know and not a moment earlier. That's how it works when the answer you're looking for depends on other events that must first settle, new players that need to be gathered, and serendipities that are still being calculated. Sometimes, not even I know until I know, but you will. So, with that, I want to do the quick pause laws, and I want to focus on one, and we're almost done, everybody, so don't worry. So, as a reminder, or as for your first time, welcome to the show, by the way. So, number one, keep a positive attitude at all times. Number two, don't forget to pause and reflect. Number three, always position yourself for success. Number four, remember a round of a pause. Number five, everyone needs some apostles. Number six, never play possum. And number seven, feel the pause and effect. So, I want to focus on number one, keeping a positive attitude at all times. Okay. Dan, can you get that one song up for me that we played when we had our first hater? Remember that one?
I think I do.
When we had our first hater months and months ago.
Did it go like this?
That's it. I got to keep on moving. Ain't nothing going to break my stride. I mean, we played that back in the day when we had our first hater. Yep. And yeah, I know it's obvious. Keep a positive attitude at all times. But there's seven of them. They're all a play on words with my last name. And when you put them together, you see where I'm going. You don't have to go back and listen to them all. We're going to keep going with them. All right. But what a perfect time for keeping a positive attitude.
Yeah.
And understanding. And by the way, if you don't think those are clever, and that they don't make sense, then you're just an asshole. Okay, so
that's attitude.
Yeah, the first hater. Like for those of you that don't remember that episode, the first hater came out, and I'm like, took him on head on. I was like, you know what? I don't care. Don't
right.
listen.
Right.
It was free.
It's very simple.
It's simple, dude. The fact that you put down some things, told me about how ridiculously terrible we are, and used words that I actually had to look up in a dictionary. So again, in times like these, here's my point. In times like these, as a Bruins football fan, I know for me, it's the hardest it's ever been to follow rule number one. But I had some great conversations at the game because, again, the first game sucked, okay? And I had some great conversations with people that I see all the time. And one of my close friends said, you know, Corey, it's like, we're not very good right now, but we've been through this before. And one thing that all of our kids can agree on is that there's no arguing about going to the UCLA game. You know, and you see that all over the place and in many other schools. But when you don't have a lot of great things to talk about the product on the field, then, you know, when something that you're passionate and somewhat fanatical about is not going great, you almost got to like look back in the mirror. Mm-hmm. I know for me personally, like if we won that game, I might have went out with a bunch of work people and not come home until later.
Yeah.
But instead I went home. And my wife's like, wow, you're home earlier.
Right.
You guys must have lost.
Well, you weren't gone for 12 hours.
And I gave my kids more attention than I would normally if we had won the game and I got home because they were sleeping. Do you follow me?
I do.
Like, so when you're fanatical about something and that's not going great, then look inward and give more attention to the people that you care about the most. And along with that concept of family, you know, because we're the Bruin family, but then you're also your internal family, your personal families. But I also want to give a shout out to my new buddy, Scott. You know, I met him and his family about an hour and a half later and had a similar conversation. And this guy, he was acting like a little funny. And I was like, almost like, what's this dude? What's this guy's problem?
Oh, really?
And his friend says, oh, this guy has one of your authentic jerseys, Scott. And I said, no way. I'm like, Dan, I said, Dan, keep your eyes out. There actually might be somebody with my jersey on here. And Dan's like, no way, dude.
So wait a minute. Which so he has an actual, like,
an authentic jersey that his dad,
in?
Yeah, his dad's a booster or a donor and actually auctioned. He won an auction, one of my real jerseys.
Nice.
Yeah. So he shows me a full on picture with some celebrity. And sorry, Freudian slip. And, he actually made my day. I was like, yeah, of course. Like, not only this guy doesn't have the jersey that you could get from Champs.
Right.
This guy's got an authentic jersey. There's only a handful of people. I have three of them.
Right. How many could there be?
There can't be that many more.
Yeah.
And in fact, when I go back at the equipment manager from back then and see how much money he made off that. No, just kidding. But, you know, I still love being there no matter what. And if you think about it, the coaches and players are going to come and go, and they have come and go. Chip Kelly's not going anywhere. I don't want him to go anywhere. I want him to be extremely successful. I want the Bruins to be extremely successful. I ran into a guy, you know, a long, long time ago, plus 10 plus years ago, I took over the lease of a suite, a guy named Bob Leonard, which is one of the legendary Bruin donors of all time, cared so much more, so much about football. And most big donors, you typically care more about basketball because it's UCLA. But this guy, Bob, cared so much about football. And I got to know him a little bit, and he had gotten Alzheimer's towards the end of his life. And I was able to take over his lease. Mm-hmm. And I never got to meet his family after, you know, or talk to his family after he died. I met his daughter. She was in the suite as well, randomly as a guest of a friend.
Wow.
And it just had that feeling of, you know, no matter what's going on out there,
right.
Granted, I wish we win. I hope we win, and we will win again. But those types of moments where, you know, I've talked about it, my dad's got Alzheimer's, and I'm sitting there in a suite. So mm-hmm. You talk about being invested in how well UCLA plays.
Right.
I mean, myself and my company are invested. How much easier do you think it is to get your clients and potential clients to go to the game when UCLA is doing really well?
Much easier.
Oh, you think? Right. You think the skyboxes at Alabama don't have anybody in them? So, you know, don't give me any shit about having a little bit of a negative attitude, because I don't. My point is that I've been invested. I was the first person to sign a new lease at the Terry Tannehill Pavilion, period. Whew. Anyway, so we just need to get a win to get this taste out of our mouths. I'm going to return to the Rose Bowl again next week, and so are you, Dan, actually.
Yes,
you're coming again.
True.
You might not make it after that, but you're coming back again. I'm not expecting a win, but if it happens, we're going to go back to the fact that we have the players.
You never know.
But I'm still going to enjoy my time, because at the end of the day, again, what are you going to do on a beautiful Saturday in Pasadena? So with that, remember, when you keep a positive attitude, something will one day brew again.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Caught. Not the betting book. What are you, Pete Rose?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.